We're going chapter by chapter through the magnificent Gospel of John. Today we're in chapter 7 of John's amazing, detailed theology of the life of Christ. You know that John uses the word believe multitudes of times more than the other Gospel writers. That's why this message series is entitled Believe. It's about turning truth into trust. The word believe in the Greek is that word that best is demonstrated by the word to entrust. Have you ever been driving a vehicle and you pull up to a busy road and you're really needing to get on the go here, and so you got somebody riding shotgun and you say, "How's it looking?" And they say, "Fine." But you look anyway before you go. That is not to entrust. That's to still make the check yourself. I can tell you that there are not that many times, but when I ask Joyce, "How's it looking?" When Joyce says, "You can go," I never have to look. Because I can be entrusted to my wife. I trust her view. Trust me on that one. When the scripture says to believe, it's saying don't flinch, don't worry, entrust. Trust yourself to the one who will inherit nails for your sin. Trust yourself to the one who loves you more than you could ever even begin to know yourself. So today in John chapter 7, we have an amazing, amazing moment. Jesus has left Galilee. He went to Galilee because of his disciples had left him. Remember last week, "Will you stay?" Some of his disciples left him. The scribes and the Pharisees now, from John 6 forward, it's all about how do we eliminate this Jesus? How do we eliminate this troublemaker, this revolutionary? And so Jesus goes up to Galilee because there's less turbulence and conflict, but he has ministry to do there. But now it is the time for the Feast of the Tabernacles. And you can't do that in Galilee. You've got to do that in Jerusalem. The Feast of the Tabernacles is when the Jewish people would gather in Jerusalem to celebrate how God provided for them in all of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. How he provided the bread, how he provided water from the stone, how he provided again and again and again. Sometimes this week-long celebration is called the Feast of Booths, because when Jews would come for this week, they would make little booths out of bamboo or palm branches, rather. And they would stay in those booths for the week, and knowing that God would provide and that God would take care of them. And they were celebrating that. One of the things that they celebrated daily was a moment when the high priest would go to the Pool of Siloam with a huge golden goblet, and he would dip water out of the Pool of Siloam, come back before the people in the temple area, and he would walk around the altar, and then he would pour out that goblet of water, and the people would celebrate. They would chant praise to God because he was reminding them of how God brought water from a rock, how God provided for them in the midst of their misery. On the seventh day of the feast, the priest would walk around the altar seven times. And when he would come on the sixth time around, he would get another priest, and that priest would walk with him the seventh time around. And that priest would have a goblet with wine, and the priest who had done it the 6 days previous would have his golden goblet of water. And together they would pour out water and wine on the altar. You know that Jesus would teach us and understand the symbolism of the wine is going to be literally a picture of his blood being poured out on the altar of sacrifice. So there is a if you will, there is a foreshadowing here of exactly what's about to happen. But then there was the eighth day of the feast. And on the eighth day of the feast, the priest would stand before the people, and this time they would not be circling the altar and pouring water out of a goblet to remind, celebrate the fact that God provided for us when we were in the wilderness. On the eighth day, they prayed for rain. On the eighth day, the whole day was about praying for God to please give us water. For 7 days, they would celebrate by faith how God was always, in the desert, He provided. He always provides. He's the God of miracles. He's the God who brings water out of a rock. And then on the eighth day, they would cry out to God for rain. I'm not sure exactly how I feel about that. Except it was on that last day, that great day of the feast, when Jesus steps forward. John chapter 7, verse 37. And as they are getting ready for that very moment, Jesus steps forward, and this is what happens. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." Now, this is a principle that is throughout the ministry of Jesus. Thirst, come, drink. It is something that He gave us information about and a picture of in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. It's also something, again, He said in John chapter 6, verse 35, that the man who believes in me is never going to hunger. I'm the bread. Remember, He taught that in chapter 6. But then He reiterated again, and you'll never thirst again if you believe in me. Now, here we are again. If you are thirsty, let him come to me and drink. It's amazing to me how in culturized Christianity, we run from church to church, conference to conference, camp to camp, event to event, trying to find every way we can to fill our cup. I want a little refresher. I want an extra. I want some more. And Jesus is about to unpack a verse for us that says, wait, time out. There is a river within you. We are a culture so prone to do exactly what flesh always chooses to do, and that's to try to find the most quick and convenient ways to feel what we want to feel. Jesus said, now the issue here is, are you thirsty? He was not asking people if they're empty. A gas tank gets empty, and then you fill it up, and you go some more, and then you have to fill it up again. He's asking them, are you thirsty? Sometimes I believe Christians are guilty in attempting to evangelize the world by just telling people, you're empty, you're empty, you're empty, you're empty, and never really inviting them to understand why some of the stuff that life does to us makes you feel like you feel or thirsty. One of the great challenges of the church would be to help be so identified with our community and our world that we begin to understand what makes people thirsty for love, for connection, a sense of belonging, a sense of discovery. Oh, wait a minute, that's what we're trying to do on Wednesday night. Yeah, that's good. It really is about the places in our human existence where people reckon and come to an understanding, I need more, I don't have enough, I thirst. You know, it's amazing how much people already know how bad they are and how empty it is. And Jesus says, if you thirst, if you're thirsty, I want you to come to me and drink. Why? Look at verse 38. Here we go. You ready? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said. Now hang on to that phrase. Somewhere in the Old Testament, there's a reference. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, I actually love the old King James here, out of your innermost being, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If you're thirsty, come to me. And when you believe in me, when you can entrust yourself to me, you're going to discover the reality of a river coming out of you. There's a time long ago we used to sing this chorus when I was a student pastor. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes for a neat little tune, I suppose, for olden camp days. But it really doesn't seem to stick or connect when we're constantly looking for something to fill us up. Now, either we got a river flowing out of us, or we don't. Verse 39 will tell us that Jesus is speaking of the Spirit. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. You believe in him, you'll receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this is before Pentecost. This is before the coming of Holy Spirit. But Jesus makes a statement here. You believe in me. Now, those believing in him would receive. You will receive the reality of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit will be like a river from your innermost being. Let's go back to verse 38, if you can, Lacey, please. As the scripture has said. There's not a verse in the Old Testament that says, out of your heart, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Did Jesus make a mistake? Absolutely not. You can go to Isaiah 55 and 18, and you can see a phrase referring to living streams of water. You'll be like a garden planted with living streams of water. You can go to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8. And you'll see a scripture that was referenced even in this Feast of Tabernacles. The priests would quote that verse at times. There's a couple of verses in the Psalm that speak of springs of water, living water. But there's not really a specific verse. Let me just throw one more into the picture. Sometimes God speaks through his prophets through visions. In Ezekiel chapter 47, I'm not going to put the scripture up here because there's 12 verses. It's rather lengthy, so I'm just going to ask you to listen and go back and read it. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12, the prophet Ezekiel is on a vision. He's being led by the angel of the Lord. He simply refers to him as the man. And he says, the man is going to take him on a vision. And suddenly he begins to see water coming out of the temple of God. So the vision has Ezekiel in Jerusalem at the temple. And he sees water coming out of the south side of the altar. And the water trickles out and the water runs out. And it literally starts heading toward the east. So from Jerusalem, due east, your head is straight toward what's called the Arabah, or the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on the face of this earth. It is the driest and most salt ingredient contaminated piece of property known to mankind. When you go to the Dead Sea, if you can't swim, jump on in, because you're not going to drown. I have done sit-ups on the Dead Sea. The buoyancy is so amazing. And if we're blessed to go in May, I'm going to get on the Dead Sea and I'm going to do some sit-ups again, okay? So he sees a vision of water coming out of the temple, and it's going down the Kidron Valley. It's going due east. And then he says, the man, the angel, had a line in his hand, and he walked the line out 1,000 cubits. A cubit is 18 inches, foot and a half. So now the angel stretched out a line 1,500 feet. It's about 0.3 miles. And he draws that line all the way out, and now the water, he says, that was just a trickle coming out of the temple, now it's up to his ankles. And he says, come on. And he walks out 1,000 cubits, and now the water's up to his knees. And he walks out 1,000 cubits, and now the water is up to his waist. We're right getting close to 1 mile width of a river. And then he goes 1,000 cubits, and he says, now it was water above my head. It was water to swim in, a river I could not cross over. And the man brought him all the way back. He had walked him out over 1 mile into the trickle from the temple that had now become a river, and it was flowing toward the desert of the east. And he said, Son of man, have you ever seen this? You ever seen anything like this before? And he says, I looked and behold that everywhere the river went, trees were growing. And he'll go on to say later that these waters go all the way down to the Arabah. This river flowed all the way down to the Dead Sea, and things that were dead came to life. And there were many fish, and the trees bore fruit in their seasons every month of the year. And the prophet had a vision that everywhere the river goes, trees grow. And everywhere the trees grow, the fruit shows. And everywhere the fruit shows, the health glows. Because he said these leaves were for medicine. And everywhere the health glows, that's where fish go. Simply because a river got there. I don't know if Jesus is in reference to a vision of Ezekiel. I don't know if he's in reference to Isaiah. But what he has given to us is a powerful picture here. He said, I want you to first of all be thirsty. And I want you to come to me. And I want you to drink of what I have. I want you to trust me. I want you to believe in me. For if you believe in me, out of you, will flow rivers of living water. And you say, it's a little stretch. I'll just go ahead and give you another chapter to read. Read the 22nd chapter of Revelation. And he showed me the river of living water, whose trees bore fruit in their season, and their leaves were for medicine. I don't know exactly what all is trying to be said. I'm going to be honest with you. But from Ezekiel's vision to the revelation vision of John, in the midst of the two, Jesus makes a statement. And he says this is what it's going to be like when Holy Spirit is alive in you. You will have a river flowing out of you. I want you to listen extremely carefully at this point, please. Too many times we have told people, and too many times we've told ourselves, if I believe in Jesus, I trust Jesus, I accept Jesus, I'm going to have my sins forgiven, I'm going to be saved. Correct, correct, correct. But too many times I think we have so postured this salvation thing that if you'll trust Jesus, you're going to get blessing after blessing, and you're going to have all this from God. It's going to be so good. God wants to shower you. I suggest to you that this passage says God wants to empty you and me. He says, when you believe in me, out of you. Could it be that Our desire for being so self-centered and self-absorbed and self-realization is not what Jesus has in mind at all. Could it be that being a follower of Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus would actually mean that God, in His ultimate divine redemptive plan, not only to forgive us and to save us, but that's why Paul says in Romans 8, He wants to conform us to the image of His Son. In other words, the Spirit of God living in us is to help make us like Jesus. And the life of Jesus was self-expenditure. He poured Himself out. He spent Himself. He gave Himself up. He became as. And we want because we feel like we need to be filled. We need to be filled. We need to receive. We need to get from God. I would suggest to you that Jesus just said, God wants you to trust me. The Father wants you to trust me. I'm asking you, are you thirsty? Is that a real reality in your life? Then come to me and drink. And when you drink, trust in me. Out of you. Out of you comes the life of Christ. The Spirit of God flows out of you. Johnny, how you like that chair, man? Isn't that awesome? You know, there's somebody in this fellowship. Somebody in this faith family watched you struggle to get in and out of those chairs week after week. And somebody in this faith family said, I want to get a chair for Johnny. Somebody in this fellowship said, I want to just take care of somebody else. I want the love of God to flow and go in Johnny Stokes' direction. I want the love of God to be expressed to somebody else. You see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Jesus said, when you believe in me, as the scripture talks about, out of your innermost being, now the Spirit of God, the river of God, is going to flow. It's not a literal river like the Black Warrior. It's not a literal river. He's speaking of the flow of the Spirit. The Spirit of God ought to flow out of us. And you say, well, the scripture says be filled. Ephesians 5:18 says be filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you some things about that verse. Number one, it's plural, so it's to all of us. Number two, it's an imperative, so it's not up for debate. This is a command. Number three, it's in the present tense. Keep on being filled. Third, it's in the passive voice. That means you don't do this. Somebody does it for you. God wants to do this through you. And the reason we are to keep on being filled, have you ever had a container at a spigot and it was empty? And you started filling it up. And when it got full, you just let the filling, it just kept on being filled. And it runs over. And it runs over. And it goes and it goes and it goes. Consider the life of a river. The source of the river, the beginning point of the river, knows very little, is not even participant in what happens hundreds of miles downriver. Oh, the persistent victory of a river that even when there's a blockade, when the land is shifted, when there's a mud pack or what, the river will continue by its force to move around through whatever obstacle there is. And all the time, back at the source, it may be as calm as it can be, but the river's working and the river's rolling and the river's going. Do you understand that sometimes God may want to be so flowing through your life and my life that we don't even know where He's blessing because of the flow out of us? See, most of the time we want credit for the flow. We want credit for anything. I did something good for somebody. Give me a point. That sounds like a thirsty person. That doesn't sound like a river flowing. So what do we do? Let me just give you two action steps, all right? Do this. Number one, connect with the source. Whatever you've got to do, if you haven't done it, then do it. I am not asking you to join this church. I am not asking you to join a particular denomination. I'm not asking you to become affiliated with some organization or some movement. I am asking you to believe in the God who so loved you that he sent his son to die in your place, a substitutionary death. And he wants you to simply believe in him. Admit you're thirsty. Come to Jesus. Drink. Trust. Accept. But you've got to be connected to the source if you're going to be able to experience the second thing I'd love for you to do today. And this is your second action step. Connect. Number two, be invested in others. Invest your life in others. You've heard people say all the time, quickest way to make friends is to be friendly. It's kind of in that spirit. Stop talking about how tough things are or how difficult things are and just start investing in somebody else and start giving and sharing of your life. And let the Spirit of God out of you. Let the Spirit of God, oh, what's that fruit? Love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, kind, goodness. He's not wanting to make you a perfect cluster of grapes. He's wanting to squeeze you and let flow. Let the Spirit of God out of you. I would submit to you today, that's what believing does. If you believe in me, there'll be a desire on your part to be emptied even as I emptied myself for you. Say, why did we change the Wednesday night thing, man? Why are we doing what we're doing? Because some of you haven't been coming to Wednesday night at all. And we thought, what can we do that would offer people? Maybe this will be a way to connect. Maybe this will be a way you can begin to feel like this is a faith family and this is my home. And you can belong to something far larger than yourself. Maybe this would be the place where you discover that God wants to do something in you and through you. A little girl was told to go to bed. Mom and daddy told her they loved her. They go lay down. Mama, I want a glass of water. Mama gets up and gives her a glass of water. About 5 minutes later, Mama, I want another glass of water. Now, Mama's already having visions of changing sheets. She says, can't have another glass of water. Mama, I told you no. Mama, if you ask again, I'm going to get up and I'm going to give you a spanking. Mama. When you get up to come spank me, will you bring me a glass of water? We're just like her. Okay, I know I got to go to church. I know I need to show up every now and then. I know I need to thump the offering plate every now and then. I know I need to do this. I know I need to do that. Daddy, Father, when I do what I'm gonna do, bring me some water. And I am telling you, you'll never be thirsty again when the Jesus Father Spirit in you flows out of you. It never stops. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray for the church at Tuscaloosa to be thirsty. I pray for a person in this room who may not have a personal relationship with you, and for the very first time in their life, they need to trust you. And their belief in you would be an act of repentance and your forgiveness of their sin nature. For many believers in this room who have yet to fully, completely, relentlessly believe, I pray, Father, you would allow Holy Spirit conviction to bring a parched reality to our soul. That somebody in this room today would want to run home to you. That we would be able to run into arms of grace. And I pray today that we would begin to understand it is your intention for us to flow with your Spirit. That is not to be the abnormal, but the norm. I pray, Father, help us understand giving is the flow of the Spirit. Serving is in the flow of the Spirit. Loving is in the flow of the Spirit. Community is in the flow of the Spirit. I pray today, Father, for Jimmy. Father, that you would continue your hand of healing on Jimmy Bain. I pray today, Father, for Amy Hsu as she faces surgery at the end of this month. I pray today, Father, for Amanda as she goes home or goes back to Birmingham tomorrow to the house. I pray for Sarah. I pray for Rachel as they go back home tomorrow. I ask you, Father, that you would cover these ladies with the very shelter of your love. I pray, Father, that we would be missional in everything we do because there is a river of your Spirit flowing through us. Bless this church. Thank you for guests that are with us today. I want to pray especially right now for Jeremy, Chastity, for Ava and Ella. Thank you, Father, for Nancy being here today. Pray you'd bless her. Pray for my buddy Brandon. God, God, I pray for Dale today. Continue to bless Tim. And bless us as we seek to be a healthy river of your Spirit. These things we pray in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. We're going to receive our offering. I want to encourage you, let the river flow. Let the river flow. You'll do this? All right, go ahead.
When you read the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19, when Jesus is making his way into Jerusalem as his kind of his final entry before he's crucified, all of Jesus' disciples and followers, they line up, and Jesus is walking into the city, and everyone's saying, blessed be the Lord, Hosanna. They're all praising Jesus as he enters in. And all the Pharisees and all the religious leaders, and they all look in at Jesus, and they say, rebuke your servants, rebuke your disciples. Make them stop, make them be quiet. See, they were afraid of an overthrow. They were afraid that Jesus would conquer the Roman civilization. And Jesus looks back at them and he says, even if they are silent, the rocks will cry out my name. And it's a neat picture, because what we know as believers in Jesus is, even if we don't exist, the world will know that God is who he is. But God has uniquely gifted and chosen each one of us to be the river of life. And later on, as Jesus is dying, what he says and what he promises is that his Spirit would come and his Spirit would live inside each one of us. God has decided that he would allow his Spirit to live and be life to the people all around us. And so I'm praying for this church, for the you people, that 2016 will be a year that people will look at you and they would see life. They would look at you and they would see life, and they would see hope, and they would see promise. And life is joyous. It's fruitful. It doesn't just sit back and not do anything mean or not do anything bad or not do anything good. It just kind of is apathetic. It moves and it flows. And so that's my prayer for us. And that 2016 would be the year that Jesus was the most important thing in our lives. And so we thank you guys for coming to worship, being with us. We've got a couple things for you on your way out. There's a table right there on Wednesday night. We have a couple really neat flex classes, a couple really neat opportunities to learn how to paint, to learn some spiritual maturity, some spiritual disciplines, all sorts of opportunities if you'll check out that table. And also, if you're here and you're a believer in who Jesus is, and you've never been able to identify that to the world, to your peers, to your family, we believe that the greatest way to do that is through baptism. And Sunday, January 31st, we're going to celebrate baptism. And so we want you to sign up. See Tina Miller. There should be a sign up out there. But check in with Tina Miller. If you're interested and have never been baptized before, we want to baptize you Sunday, January 31st. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll see you all this Wednesday night at 6:30. Remember, there's no dinner. 6:30, we will see you guys here. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we lift up Brenda to you right now, that you would continue to heal her, you would continue to move in her spirit and in her soul, that she would be encouraged right now, knowing that we are lifting her up to you. And so, God, I pray that 2016 would be a year where your name would be made known to our neighborhoods and to the nation and to the world, Lord, that we would be rivers of your name and of life. That our neighbors would see you, that our coworkers would see you, the people that we interact with and run into every single day of our lives would see you in the life that you've given us. And so, Lord, we believe in you and we trust you. Lord, would you be glorified through our lives and all that we do. We love you and we lift you up and we thank you for the cross. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys. We'll see you this Wednesday.